thing. That shows extra talent. So we'll help you get set up. Tonight's a little different. We have a new worship leader now. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, it's camp meeting. It's a little different, but we're just letting the Lord lead. So tonight I'm just going to use this chair. How's that sound? Yeah, we're going to use the chair, brother. No, that's okay. Yeah, I'll sit right here. Good to go. Just going to use the chair tonight. So we're doing things a little bit different. And I just want the Holy Spirit to have complete control. We have to learn how to look past the veil and understand that the Spirit of God is in the Holy of Holies. And as long as He's in charge and in control, He can take care of everything else. We don't have to worry about all that peripheral stuff. He'll take care of all that outside stuff. He's responsible for that. Our job is just to make Him a place so the Shekinah glory has a place, a resting place. How am I under the lights? Do I look kind of funny? It's not like the real camp meeting, sitting around the fire with a flashlight under your chin. That would be wild. At some point, too, on a Wednesday night, I want to do like questions and answers, and we're going to just kind of go back and forth talking about the Lord, right? The good things of God. But tonight, I just want us to get just start to grasp the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How simple it really is. I've been preaching some pretty technical things on Sunday, but that was a series of sermons that needed to be gotten out, and I want you to understand that that's really where we're at right now. We're getting ready to be united physically with the Lord Jesus. I mean, I can't think of anything greater than that outside of the spiritual union we're experiencing with Him. But to see the one who died for me at Calvary, I mean, that was a huge deal. And that's coming up. But in the meantime, we're here on this earth to be His ambassadors. We're to share with people what Jesus did, the work He did at Calvary. And we're to share with people that He is not a dead Lord on a cross, a dead Savior, but a risen Savior, a risen Lord, who's alive and well, who's living in His people, and He's here right now on earth right now. That's the exciting thing. If we're just telling people about something that happened in history, or if we're just telling people about Jesus who lives in heaven, we're missing something. Anybody can say that, and anybody can preach that. But when we're here living the life and demonstrating that Jesus Christ isn't dead, He is alive, the proof is here. That's different. People see that you once were a certain kind of a person. Maybe you were addicted to alcohol, drugs. Maybe you were in the world just living for yourself. Maybe it was simply you were raised in a church, but you didn't really know the Lord, and then God transformed your life. And they can see by just the way you're living and the way you're speaking and the excitement you have and the energy, and that you're willing to pray for them right then on the spot. I mean, that's a big deal. You're proving to people that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And that really is the crux of the Great Commission, because Jesus said, you are going to become my witnesses of my resurrection. You're going to become my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's going to show people that Jesus isn't dead, He's alive. So I want to just kind of work on a thought that I have tonight on how simple the gospel is. And I've got a verse of scripture I want to read you, and then I'm going to go over demonstrating it with you. Who brought your Bible with you? If you don't have your Bible, we're going to learn how to do this on a phone, on a cell phone, somehow. If you got a flip phone, maybe that'll work too. But turn to Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. It's the last part of Acts 18. And later on, you can read the first part of Acts 19, because those are kind of, they really belong together. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. That says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. That'd be kind of fun and exciting to listen to somebody who's mighty in the scriptures, right? I don't think this guy was a kind of a dead-sounding professor, right? That's just talking on technical terms. This guy was mighty in the scriptures. He knew his verses of scripture. And he came to Ephesus. And why I want to just stop for a minute as before we read on is that I've just noticed this with Gideon. The last couple of three, 4 days, maybe the last week, he's been listening to the Bible. He's doing a how many day? 30-day shred. Read the Bible. Some of you say, oh, that's disrespectful. You should read it over a whole year. I don't know about you, but reading it through a whole year, I've done that, and it's grueling. It's hard. I mean, you got to keep going, keep going. Sometimes it's very long. But reading it in 30 days, and he's doing it it's on an audible format. So, of course, he's just having it pumped. So every time I come around, he's like got somebody reading scripture to him loud, and he's just listening to it. So I love this. And that's what I see here is a man, Apollos, was somebody who really knew his Bible. He really knew the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Now remember the thoughts, this paraphrase or this term, the way of the Lord, right? It's powerful. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Now remember now, he was teaching people accurately the things of the Lord and very fervent in spirit, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they were disciples of Jesus through the Apostle Paul, as far as I know, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, listen, this guy is already on fire. He sees God's doing something in his generation. He's heard about this John the Baptist. He's preaching repentance, baptism, the kingdom's coming, everything that John preached, without even knowing that the kingdom was already there. Imagine how much more excited. He didn't get bogged down and slowed down. He got more on fire. Not only preaching that the kingdom was coming, now he can preach, the kingdom is come. It's here. So that's what he does. Watch what happens. And I love the way that he was already preaching the way of God. Now he's preaching it more accurately. You guys catch that? He taught accurately the things of the Lord, but then Aquila and Priscilla explained to him the way of God more accurately. How many wants to be accurate? How many can understand that you can be accurate and still, you can still be more accurate? That's pretty amazing stuff. Imagine if you hit the bullseye, right? And you're right on the outside red circle, but you still hit the bullseye. You get credit for that. But how would it be to be able to hit the middle of the bullseye? Now that's some accuracy right there, right? Well, that's what's going on here. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So he went with letters, which were saying, this is your brother, receive him. He's going to preach the word. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly. That's amazing. Wow, because those Jews are harsh people, right? But he publicly refuted them, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. And saints, we don't need to go to the next chapter, but you'll see there where Paul comes and he introduces to these new believers in Christ about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's really powerful stuff. But the thing I want to do with you tonight is just to give you a simple format that when you're talking with somebody, when they're interested, they want to know more about this Jesus that you serve, this Jesus that you're excited about, that you are living for, this Jesus that has changed your life, and they can see in your life there's something different, that there's a simple format. And I want you to think of these words, and I wish you had something to write with, because this is what you need to remember. Number one is God. Number two is creation. Number three is mankind. Number four is sin. Okay? God, creation, mankind, sin. And it's very simple. You're very easily just say, in the beginning, God created everything. So you went right from God to mankind, or to creation. And the earth itself is like the crown of all of God's creation. Of all the universe, they have still not discovered life anywhere else but on this earth. And people can believe anything they want, but as far as we know right now, this is the only place where earth exists, life exists, in all of the universe. So earth itself is God's crown of creation. And the last thing God made was man. And man is the gem of the crown of creation. So God has a very important role for man to play. He has a vision and a desire that man already are going to be his children. Isn't that exciting? Mankind. But then sin came, and sin separated man from God. And it separated us in a way that we were in a pit of sin. We couldn't get out. There was nothing we could do to get out. Adam and Eve tried different things. Nothing worked. But God continually gave promises that he has a program that will work. However, man still decided to build rickety old ladders called religions. All kinds of religions are on this earth today. Very old ones, and some are newer. But these religions are set up to try to work your way toward God. Every religion under the heavens, except for Christianity, is a religion based on you have to work to get to God, to get to peace, to get to love, to get to a place of joy. And who wants that? I mean, is that something that you would love to have in your life? Love, peace, joy, all those great things? Well, that's with God. And the only way we can do that is to get to God. But we can't get to God. That's a problem. So what happened was God, and this is Christianity, the difference between us and all other religions is that God started coming toward us. We couldn't get to him, but he could get to us. And so he became first in the Old Testament. And that's when I take a Bible with someone and I'll just show them. This Old Testament, this is what Gideon's going through right now, is all about an invisible God who is untouchable becoming more visible. He looks like a fire or a cloud or an angel. He looks like a being. And what we call God as a father. He's a father over his people. He's God above us. Does that make sense? So he's moving closer because he went from invisible to at least God above us, where he's showing his desire is to connect with us, right? And then starting the Gospels, are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read about God becoming man, incarnate. In other words, God with us, Emmanuel. Does that make sense? So we read about that in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so this is now God who was once above us has come even closer, and now he is God with us. He's tangible. You can touch him. He can touch us. However, he can only be in one place at one time. So if you happen to be in China when Jesus was on earth, you probably were totally clueless. If you were in Africa, too bad. Nobody knew that Jesus was here except for a handful of people in a small little place the size of New Jersey called the land of Israel or Canaan. And so there was Jesus. But then the book of Acts came. Jesus died, and by his death, he made a ladder or a way for us to climb out of the pit over his dead body, right? That's the only way we could ever get to God was through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And then on the day of Pentecost, he went from being God above us as a father to God with us as a son, and finally as the Holy Spirit, he became God what? And most people that you share this with, they have no clue about God. They just fill it in. You just give it to them as a question. God above us as a father, God with us as a son, became as the Holy Spirit, God, what is it, Junior? God in us, right? People get it. They understand it. That was the whole purpose of the Bible, the Gospels, Christianity, is that God so longs to be connected with us. He doesn't just want to be above us. He doesn't just want to be with us. He wants to be in us. Is that something that you desire? Would you like God to live inside you, save you, fill you, give you love, give you joy, give you peace. Not something down the road when you die someday and go to heaven, you'll finally be in a place of peace. How would you like to have peace today? How many here can think back of a time when you were a little kid? How many siblings do you have? This is actually, I'm just talking to you the way I talk to people. How many siblings do you have? Oh, I got four or five. Remember when you were a little kid? Mark's part of a baseball team. Believe me, I know. I was part of that team too. But remember when you were a little kid, you played Cowboys and Indians, Cops and Robbers, or Dolls, if you did, or G.I. Joes. You know, you would be out in the woods all day, playing all day. Remember how life was so simple? And remember how you just felt like days would go on forever and everything was just easygoing? Remember that? You didn't have a worry in the world. Generally speaking, you really didn't have anything you were concerned about. But how are you today? Right? You see how I just painted the contrast? How is it today? It's like, I was talking to this one guy, he goes, oh, you don't understand. So terrible. You know, he just fell out of a tree trying to cut a limb. So he broke both of his feet. Poor guy. I mean, his garage that he ran, a repair shop, was going up. He was losing business. He was in a lot of trouble. I said, how would it be to be able to have that mindset again, or that feeling again, that you've got no worries in the world? Now, as a Christian, you're still going to have worries. You're still going to have struggles. But you get to have a God who's in charge of the entire universe that we just talked about, who overcame the problem of sin that separated us from him, come into your life and live inside of you. Imagine you're going to have joy, love, peace, long, all the exciting things of life that you need are all going to be inside of you from now on. Won't that make your life a lot easier? And that's preaching the gospel, saints. We ought to be able to preach this and share this with fervency, with conviction, with excitement. This is what people are looking for. They're dying for it. They're really not just looking for a church to go to. Yes, they would like to be a part of a people who are also excited, who are also experiencing life and joy and happiness and all those things, but they also want to have it for themselves. Because if they just come to a church and experience it and go home, they got to go back to the old thing. It's like just a different drug. They've been doing alcohol to deal with it. They've been doing drugs to deal with it. They've been dealing with putting friends in their life to try to have friends make them happy. Nothing makes you happy until happiness himself lives inside of you. So isn't that something that we should be sharing? And can everybody understand that that is really the message of the Bible that John wrote about and said, you who heard the message from the beginning. This is what the churchy religious systems lost because, like, sorry, but the Roman Catholic Church and different ones have still made it. Yes, it's by faith, but it's also by works. You know, yeah, you're saved by faith, but you're not getting out of that pit unless you walk out. But it's you're getting out of that pit because Jesus came in there and became you. He became you so you could become like him. Then you're just drawn out like a magnet. You're just pulled out of it. There's no walking or working on your part. There's no faith and works. See, the religions, again, it's all about works, 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 work your way to God. But the gospel, the Christian religion or faith is about you let God's work be effective in your life. God does the work. You accept it. So how many here is willing to accept it? See, could you do that? Is that something you can learn how to share? And if we go over this again and again and even do some classes on it and do some training on it, that you could really start to learn how to share it and make it your own story. Make it your story. Share your story. Because people connect with you. If they don't relate to you, they're really not going to listen. But if you can connect with people like I did with that particular guy, I said, look, you know, I'm one of 9 kids. And he said, I'm one of 11. I said, well, you got me beat. You know, I mean, you could have had a baseball team and a hockey team. Well, maybe not a hockey team, but, you know, I mean, but we right there, we're already connecting. And just telling your story, let people know how your candle got lit. Let them know how it started. And if they can say, you know what, if God can save you, and that's really got to be your attitude. You have to have the attitude that I'm the chiefest of sinners, Brother Tom. I messed up big time. I had the best chance. I was raised in church, and I still messed up horribly. And I did this and that. You don't have to always go into details, but just people know if you say, I was out in the world and I was living like a pig. And I had no hope because I didn't trust church. I didn't trust pastors. I didn't trust religion. I was just trying to do it myself. And I found myself going from bad to worse. And the reason I knew that is because the thermometer was telling me, you're not happy. You have a lot of worries. You're stressed out. You don't know your future. You're miserable. And when I'm sharing that, that's how I really was feeling in my life without Christ. And when I'm sharing that, people are nodding their head. They're saying, yeah, that's me right now. That's what I'm going through. See, so as soon as you can connect, as fast as you can connect on that, as fast as you can, that's going to be the next step where you can share, you know, but this is what I learned. You know, it wasn't through religion. It wasn't through people preaching necessarily. It was just God began to make it real to me that he's the creator of the universe. He made this whole big thing. It's way bigger than us. But yet at the same time, even though Earth is a very tiny little dust ball in a small little solar system with a little tiny sun in a huge galaxy, in a huge universe, yet Earth, by all records, is still a very beautiful place. God created it. He's made it so perfectly positioned that it has life on it. And some people, I'll share that with them, what Stephen Hawking says about it, because he's the greatest well-known physicist. And he said, Earth is positioned so well, in such a position that it causes man to look up and say, why? Wow, this universe is perfectly designed with all the right material to make an Earth. But this Earth has to be in just the right position around the sun to sustain life. Any further away, and we're not here. Any closer, we're not here. It's a desert. Further away, we're an ice ball. You know? So when you start sharing that, people just think about how amazing the universe is and how it has to be designed by someone, right? Then you can keep on going and just talk about how he made man and how we're supposed to be something special. We're supposed to be God's children. We were made in his image. We were supposed to have that creative ability. Remember when you were a kid? Remember when you were little? Remember when you were in kindergarten, first grade? And the teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Remember that? What do you want to be when you grow up? They don't ask that question in Canada, do they? I don't know why. Oh, sorry, Brother Tom. Don't even tell me about it. I'm getting there myself. But that's the thing is, like, you would say, fireman, I'm going to be a police officer. Gideon might have said that. I don't know, because that's what he wants to be. But I want to be this. When you were little, the whole world was out in front of you. You just were so excited about life. Anything could happen. You believed everything. What happened? Right? Oh, well, reality sunk in. I know that's what we say. But it's not that. It's that through life, and maybe even through school and different things, and we need school. School is good. But things tend to kind of beat out of us that dream, that big dream we had of something big we could become. Now, Lily over there, she still has big dreams, right? You're going to be something amazing when you get older, huh? So, what did she say? Uh-oh. Oh, my. See? That's like, what can stop her? Nothing. So, but then we get older and we start saying, well, that didn't work out well. This isn't going to happen. And people beat it out of us, and we allow that to happen. And we get in a place in our lives where we just accept ho-hum. But when God originally designed us, he made us to be something great. What's Lincoln going to be? Ooh, Lincoln, that's the hardest one. You should have said President of the United States. That'd be a lot easier. To be nice. Oof. With Jesus' help. So, but you get what I'm saying? You get people starting to think again, you know what? That's right. What is wrong with this situation? But it's because of sin. Sin came in, separated us from God, but we need God. And he actually needs us. That's missing in most Christianity today, that they teach that God doesn't really need us. He just feels sorry for us. That's not it. God doesn't have a gem and a crown of his masterpiece that he decides was an oversight and a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. But he knows that things are going to happen and he's a redeemer. And he can't be a redeemer unless we needed to be redeemed. And we couldn't need redemption without being lost. Does that make sense? So through Adam, with all the gene pool of humankind and Adam and Eve, they fell, we fell. But Jesus, the last Adam, comes to redeem what Adam lost. Does that make sense? So if we could, how many here feels good about if we could learn to share this better? It is the core message of this book I'm holding in my hand. If we could share that and just, I want to ask you a question about joy, happiness, and all those things. How many admits we're the age we live in and this world we live in is tough, right? It's tough. But really tough compared to what? If you live in Africa and you don't have a whole lot of money and you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning as a 12 or 13 year old and walk for 6 or 7 miles to get to the place where the water is with two empty gas, 5 gallon gas containers. Fill them with, and you have to fight to get to the water because it's only running for so long. And you hopefully get 2 5-gallon waters. This is a known fact. I know the stories. And these kids, teenagers, have to carry those. I don't know how much those things weigh, but they're heavy, and they carry them all the way back home. And that's life. Then they have to figure out where the food is coming from. Then they have to figure out, how to deal with this, that, and the other. It's just, we don't even think about that stuff. With a little pinky, we turn on the water. We don't even think about that. But yet, our lives is tough. And, honestly, sometimes it almost seems like, for some of us, man, imagine if you had no bills, you had no debts, and that was your only concern. You got to get water in the morning and make some food for the day. Maybe that would be easier. Because it's all relative. I'm not saying this is easier here in America than it is somewhere else. We're bombarded with heavier things. They're spiritual things. We have spiritual log jams we got to clear. We have spiritual battles we got to fight every single day. Sometimes having access to everything is worse. Do you get the point? But every trial and every challenge that you're being put through is common to all men. Everybody has similar challenges. So the goal is to not let it get so bad that it weighs you down. You see what I'm saying? But you don't understand what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. It's all relative. But it's what you do with those challenges that determines your outcome. And what I'm saying is, how many here would say, Brother Elijah, I want more joy in my life. I want more peace. I want more love. I just want more of all those good things of God's nature. I want them in my life. I want them expressed through me. I want them bubbling over. I want them flowing through me. I've got to have that. How many wants that? And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the biggest joys you can have, and I'm going to use a scripture. The Bible says, can God ever forget Israel? Can a woman ever forget a child that she just gave birth to? It's not going to happen. And he says, even though it's so hard on her before the birth, after the birth, she's filled with joy. And that joy just sort of overcomes everything else, right? One of the greatest things that will give you joy is that you were part of leading somebody to Jesus Christ. It is the second most exciting thing outside of your own experience of salvation. And maybe marrying the person you're supposed to marry. I mean, that's also very close. But when you bring someone else to Christ, it just transforms your life. And I believe we've kind of thrown that baby out with the bathwater because we're so busy trying to teach all the doctrinal truths of the message. But look at how simply I shared with you the doctrinal truth without going into a bunch of doctrine. I just talked about God as a Father, God as a Son, God as the Holy Spirit, God's desire to come to us. That's all it was. And to turn it into three persons that were worshiping three personal deities, I don't get it. It makes it so that people can't understand God, even though they get kind of the basic idea, because the Bible reveals enough. But what people aren't hearing, and I believe that's why Apollos, who was a believer, could come to a greater relationship with God. It obviously impacted his life, is because he was hungry. He wanted more of God. And there are Christians right now who love the Lord, they serve the Lord, they're faithful in many ways, but they're still super hungry. Megan comes here. She's not here tonight. She doesn't make, can't make it Wednesday night, maybe because of work. I don't know. But you know who she is. She comes here with her daughter, and she made it very clear that first day she showed up, and she was had tears in her, running down her cheeks, just saying, I'm hungry for God. And she was in a big church. But she said, it just seems like they're not really feeding meat. So meat doesn't have to be heavy-duty doctrines. Meat just has to be taking the gospel and making it way more simple and palatable. Bringing it right to earth. Bringing it right to your life situation. So who, again, wants to have more joy in your life? More peace, more joy, more excitement, more love. Who's hungry right now to find a hungry person? Sinner, saint, I don't care who they are. Who's hungry to find that one and just start saying, Lord, let that person come right across my path, and then make sure I don't miss it, or help me go to that person. You may have to cross a path to get to somebody, or they may have to cross your path. How many will say, Lord, I'm ready? Just do it, Lord. Just do it. I want to do it. I want to share my story and learn how to do this. So it also, the second question is, how many here wants me to work with you more and just do like a little bit more of a classroom setting where we can learn how to simply present this precious gospel? How many would like that? Did tonight help? Third question. Did tonight help? Okay. So we can do this on a Wednesday night, but I'm going to also pick other times to do something like this. It might be where we do something like this on a Sunday afternoon. Just have a second session. All right. Well, that was it. Now, I'm going to open up for questions. Who's got questions?
Go to work, go shopping, come home, go to bed, wake up, look, it's just consistent type of thing, no purpose, no, why am I here for?
Yeah, like, treadmill.
You didn't have all the stress, you didn't have a mortgage, you didn't have everything else, you owned it. So there's a lot of people out there that are on that same treadmill, and they're not finding satisfaction in the sporting events, in the pleasures on the TV and all these other things.
It's just for a season. They have a season of relief, but then you still got to deal with the main issue, which is deeper than that. I love it. So that right there, you see what Brother Tom's doing. That's how he's sharing how his candle got lit. You have to start with a dark room. You see what I'm saying? What's the point of lighting a candle in the middle of the day, 12 o'clock noon? I'm outside. I lit a candle. So? Unless it's the kind that Gideon likes to buy, because he likes to have that aroma fill up the whole room, and it's wonderful. But anyway, we love candles in our home. Anybody else? Question or comment or how you would share your story, Mark?
I don't know if everyone knows that Brother John passed away.
Yes. The joy of the Lord. And then he would start doing the ha, ha, ha. Love it. I love it. And I think I'd like to get a card from us as a church, and that would have a big blank spot on it. We can all sign it. Let's just get them something really happy. We're sending them some. I thought about going to the funeral. I don't know about when it is yet, but I'd like us to do something as a church because he blessed us. Brother Tom, do you remember Brother John's ministry at all? Or did he ever get to Canada? That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. A man of joy and singing. And I still remember what he preached, one of his sermons that he preached here when we were in the school over there in the South Meriden. I don't know if you remember Mark, or you remember he preached about stress, good, bad, and ugly stress. Talked about there's good stress. That was pretty good. Yeah. So we'll get a card and we'll all send that out to the family. We sure appreciate him. Who can share a little bit like how your candle got lit? I remember Josh sharing his story when he got up here one time. That was really amazing. Who here can share a little bit of your story real quick? We have a couple minutes. Is that clock right? A couple minutes. Go ahead. Or a comment. Or a question. I don't care. Sometimes Jesus sat down and taught, so that's why I'm sitting. Sometimes he sat. Sometimes he stood. Just depends. I remember those were the days, Bible studies. Yep. Anybody have any questions? Naomi, you got a question? No? She's not used to that in church, talking to each other. That's pretty cool. So this is what I want you to do. This is a little bit of homework. I want you to write, you're going to boil it down to a paragraph. It needs to be very short, should be about three sentences. How your candle got lit. And just talk about, write down, like, how would you relate? You know, even if you grew up in church, it doesn't matter. I grew up in church. I heard the word, but it never really impacted my life until one day. And usually, people who grew up in church, something about their life they knew was wrong. They knew it wasn't right. And God had to work with them and deal with them and really break your heart a little bit. And then you gave yourself over to Jesus Christ. And that's all you're doing. You're just going to share with people the part that really brought you to Christ. And the Bible is very clear about that process. It's always the discovery of sin, the need for God, repentance, and then believing in God's plan to save you and redeem you is Jesus Christ, faith. That whole thing, godly sorrow leads to repentance leads to faith, right? It's very simple. So if you can just write it down in 3, 4, 5 sentences, put something together, and just, it might be too big and then you have to figure out how to boil it down, but just do that because it's going to really, really help you. Some of you are not really super good at expressing yourself. Don't worry about that. We're going to work through some of that challenges because there's other ways. The biggest thing about really witnessing to people is just serving people. You know, and that's, some of you are way more giving and just that's just who you are. You're a mercy giver. That's your gift. Some of us, we're not gifted that way. Like somebody could need help and you might be the person that doesn't even realize somebody's over there drowning. I heard somebody yelling over there. I don't know what that was. A lot of splashing. That's because your gift or talent is going in a different direction. So every one of us is a little bit different and we have to all learn how to slow down a little bit. And start seeing where the Holy Spirit is really leading us. So my routine, I don't know why my wife and my daughter are laughing at me so much over there. Is it at me or to me or toward me or never mind? With me, oh yeah, sure. So I've been working at the self-storage place. And so, you know, I run off to work, come home. You get a bit of a pattern built up. And that's the part where you get into a rut and you forget about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So today I stopped to get gas and I'm just watching. So I'm learning now to, no matter what your routine is, still stay super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just keep your eyes open. And the more you do, the more God's going to present stuff your way. Because he's only going to give you something if you're the one who's looking for it. The deer pants at the water brooks. The deep calls to the deep. So there's going to be a deep, not just in God and a deep in you, but there's a deep in somebody and the deep in you. So don't forget that. All right. Anything else? Anybody else? Brother Tom? Wow.
you're looking for him, you're going to find him. Your mind is in that stage where you're opening up to the communion with the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
When I first little girlfriend you get or something like that, you go hanging out with the guys, and all you could be talking about is the girlfriend. The guys would say to you, forget about her, you're with us now. Is Christ really that intimate? And I know when Brother Branham, he was always talking to me, Billy Paul, he said, he was in a restaurant. He said, Daddy, isn't that girl got pretty hair? He said, oh, what girl, Billy? Is that girl over there? He says, oh no, I didn't even notice her. He said, that's what's wrong with you. You're always talking about Jesus. Always. And that's what I want
right.
My testimony to be. people can hockey or sports. When you get with them for 2 minutes, that's all they're talking about. Because that's on their mind constantly, stats and this and that. And some people, it's their illness. When we went to that cantata, I sat down beside this guy who was huge. I almost took up like 2.5 seats. He moved over. The first thing he starts talking to me about his heart's like a leather. He's got 14% of his heart. He never met me before in his life. I said to him, wow, I guess the Lord gave you a new heart. It went over his head. He says, no, it's my heart squishes like this. Man, this guy's talking all about his, but that was in his mind constantly.
Yeah.
Because it was a plague.
Yep. His own health was his addiction.
Yeah, so that if our
I've seen that.
So much joy in our soul. Remember in Ohio camp meeting, come out of those camp meetings and stuff like that. I went to a part to get a part in a dealership. And I went to the counter and the guy said, oh, I got a part. He said, praise the Lord, because you're caught up in the atmosphere of the camp meeting. You get pumped. You're, that's the atmosphere.
I love it.
We keep.
Yeah. So keeping it, no matter where you're at, because that's what happens. You leave camp and you lose it. You see young people come back every year and say, I don't know what happened. It was only a couple months and I lost all the joy and the excitement. Well, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's let's have camp meeting all the time. You guys have brought it up from the beginning. So, and it's funny because Gideon actually led worship at some of the camps he went to and some other situations where he was able to do it. So. I'm very proud of him, very proud of you, Gideon. You know, you're coming a long way, and God's just opening up his plans for your life. Amen. So we need, I'd love to see all his friends come and younger people coming, wouldn't you? I mean, that's the church of the future. So, all right, so we're gonna have a word of prayer, and then I have a special announcement tonight that some of you will be excited about, and some of you could care less. That's the way it's going to be. I'm giving the announcement anyway. So let's just have a word of prayer. Any other thoughts before we do that? Anybody else? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're going to just hand this all over to you right now. Lord, it's not about our plans or what we want to do. It's about your plans and what you're trying to do. And you made it very clear through your Bible, through your word, your will was expressed. You gave us the Great Commission. You gave us the Great Commandments. So now let us just go and live this out right now in this world. We've seen the demonstration of people doing it through the book of Acts and all the way through the lives of like Martin Luther and John Wesley and men of God down through the ages and even in our day. We've seen it demonstrated. We know what we must do. And we must do it not because we have to, but because our hearts are really a deep crying out to a deep. We want to see people come to you, Lord. Just remove all the calluses and all the hardness and all the weights on our hearts. May it become a heart of flesh that's written with the inflamed word of God that's just lighting us up from the inside out. May we truly be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit and bring in that last lost soul somewhere out there, Lord. We ask you to help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, who's ready for the announcement? We're going over to the pizza place to get pizza. Whoever wants them, it's all on me. I'm buying. If you want a slice, the slices are sitting there. All you got to do is pick it. They heat it up for you, and then you can eat it. So if you're not hungry, then get a soda or get water or do whatever you want. But we're going to go over there. They're from Albania, the family. They own about 7 restaurants, and they're just very open. I try to share with them every time I go over there about Jesus. So it's happy hour for you. If you're in Jesus, it's happy hour. So, Brother Tom, that sounds like the title of a sermon, maybe, happy hour. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's just... let's just go over there and we'll just be a witness wherever we go. Amen. I'm available if anybody wants to talk about this a little bit more. And if you have any concerns, just feel free to reach out. Amen. I know. Natalie was telling me about that you were having that